I remember the first election year that I ever participated in. I was 4. I went down to the city or the county election offices with my family on the night of the vote, and they had hats, and they had these little things that you could blow and make noise, like the horns from birthday parties, and they had, all of our friends were there, and they had signs up that said who we were voting for in case we had forgotten. I lived in a small town. My small town didn't have cable. It didn't have satellite TV. The only way we were going to hear election results is if we went downtown in this little town of 600 where all of our friends hung out, and we listened to them. And as a little 4-year-old, I remember thinking, wow, this is a whole lot of fun, and I sure hope the good guy wins. Because as a 4-year-old, that's really as much sense as I could make of election year. Somebody was good and somebody was bad. And my parents had been talking about the good guy, and I was for that person. And I didn't want the bad guy to win because I was afraid we would not get our snacks. I remember my dad taking me home before the election results came in completely. It was bedtime. I was probably cranky and tired. I didn't get snacks anyway. I woke up the next morning to find out that our guy won, and we were very happy. That instilled in me a sense of political responsibility that I've wrestled with since that time. Sometimes it's hard when I come to this time of the year, this time of the season, and we are electing our next president. And things seem pretty crazy when we turn on the TV and we look at our social media and we listen to the things that we listen to. I remember when I went to college. Now, I want you to know, I was voted most likely to be president in high school. I understand now that's not necessarily what the popular kids get. I didn't care. I felt really seen at that point. I was really into politics. I went to college at one of our sister universities. They had 2 clubs, one for both sides, right? And I remember thinking, why is that other club here? They even allow them on campus? What? We were really ingrained, right, into one particular perspective. Earlier this week, Dr. Ayers was talking about peace and how we find peace in prayer. And I loved what he had to say. I loved how he talked about how he prays during these hard times and remembers that God's going to bring him peace in those prayers, through those prayers. And then I thought, I wonder how we're feeling about the election this year. Now, I've been thinking about this chapel speech since like way back in the summer, whenever it was first kind of on my heart. And then Josh asked me to speak, and I was like, yay, I've been thinking about this. But I hadn't thought to ask you, what do you think about the election? What do you think, college students, about politics? And so after Dr. Ayers spoke that day, I went to my class, both of them that I had that day, and I said, what do you think? And I was really surprised to hear some of the questions that came up. Some of the questions were very good questions. They're not questions I'm going to try to answer in chapel. Chapel's not the place for those questions. There's other places for those questions, but some of them were easy questions like, how do we know who to vote for? How do we find information that's not misinformation or bad information? How do we get registered? All these kinds of questions. And one of the things that several people said was, no one actually wants to talk to us about this. Thank you for bringing it up. I'm so glad that you brought it up and you opened the door for this. I'm not going to answer those political kinds of questions about who to vote for. How do we figure that out? I don't want anything here to seem like I'm trying to sway your vote. I'm not. If you vote, that's up to you. If you don't vote, that's up to you. Have good reasons for either one. I want to answer the spiritual questions that came up in those conversations. And there were 3 spiritual questions that I felt like we could address in chapel. Now, what I'm learning is I don't know if I can address those quickly enough in chapel. So we'll see how this goes. Question number 1, how do we reconcile our Christian faith, our Christian life, with our politics? Several of you asked that question. Number 2, how do we talk about hard things with friends and family and we maintain our relationships? And number 3 was, what do we do if we feel fear about the upcoming elections and the results, regardless of which of the people win? And so I'm going to give you a few of the places I go to in Scripture that helps me, that's helped reorientate me over these years. Because I've had to do a lot of deconstructing when it comes to politics, because I really was raised in an environment where there was one way of looking at politics, and it was connected with my religious beliefs to the point that I couldn't hear any other sides. That's not helpful. It's not helpful. We have to be able to listen to each other. And so in doing this, I had to figure out first, who was I going to study? In other words, was I going to spend all my time reading what's online in the newspapers, magazines, TV, about all the different politicians? Or was I going to study the one who I claim my allegiance to, Jesus Christ, as the Son of God, that died and was resurrected for our sins, that brings us into relationship with him? Was I going to get to know him better or all these politicians better? And so that was my first step in deconstructing. I started reading the Gospels a whole lot more because I realized that if I was going to reconcile my Christian life with my politics, whatever my politics might be, I have to first know what it means to be a Christian, and I have to be doing that as authentically as I possibly could. So one of my favorite passages, and if you've been in my classes before, you already know this, the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5 through 7. I read this, obviously, every year to teach it in my classes, but I read it probably 10 or 15 or 30 more times over that every year. I love when I read that, how Jesus is capturing the attention of people that thought he should be something different than who he is. Jesus had been going around and he's healing people. People see something different in him. People are asking, what is this kingdom of God? They want to know. They're following him wherever he goes, right? He's caught their attention. He comes to this mountainside. He sits down. This is the traditional stance of a teacher. He sits down to be able to start teaching them. I also love that he sits down because that's a very non-anxious presence. And I think in that world, it's just like ours, and it may have been a little tense. And it may have been a little overwhelming. And Jesus is like, I'm going to sit here and I'm just going to tell you the truth. Right? And he starts off with this. And it should have caught everybody's attention, just like it should catch our attention now. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the poor, are those that mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are those who are meek, for they will inherit the earth. And it goes on and on. And what you should notice in that is that his message is not the message that we will hear from our politicians. None of them are getting up on this on a stage and saying, blessed is the one that mourns, you'll be comforted. Blessed are you that bring peace. They may quote those passages, but when we watch their actions, we usually don't see the same thing. We shouldn't. I don't know if that's their realm. They have a job to do, and their job is something about power, and their job is something about leadership, and their job is something about influence. And when we mix all of those things together, it gets a little confusing. And so I start first with, what does Jesus say? And Jesus reorientates us in the sermon to what his kingdom is and what it's about. And so much of that is about giving up who I am and my rights and my responsibilities, my hopes and dreams, for the sake of all of us. And so if I step into election year thinking that whoever I vote for is only going to do the best thing for me, I'm going to feel pretty anxious about it because that person's never going to get it right. But if I come into election year remembering that I firmly plant my feet first and foremost into the kingdom of God and first and foremost into the footsteps of Jesus, and I try my best and I know I mess up, then I can weather some of the anxiety that I might feel about election year. It is up to every single one of us in this room to bring God's kingdom to bear wherever we go. And sometimes that's through the political system, but more often than not, it's not. Through the political system, it's through the relationships of the people right around you. The relationships of the people outside these doors, the relationship of the people around Lubbock and around the cities and counties and states and nations that you come from. You can have direct impact on them in your everyday life. It doesn't mean, it doesn't matter who you vote for. Jesus is on the throne at the end of the day. Next, you asked me, how do we talk about hard things with friends and families and maintain our relationships? Man, I struggle with that one. Do you struggle with that one? If you do, nod your head yes, so I know you're still awake. Do you struggle with how do we talk about the hard things with friends and family and maintain relationships? Yeah. So this is what I try to remember. Jesus always encouraged us to seek unity with one another. That is not uniformity. That is not the same thing as I believe something, so you must believe something, and you must believe that same thing, and you otherwise you can't be my friend. Unity means we start from a common starting place. Our starting place is that we have been saved by the blood of Christ, and we know that. We start from there. And because you are my sisters and you are my brothers, nothing will trump that love. Nothing will overthrow that, right? Nothing that you say, nothing you wonder about in my office or in my classrooms when you come talk to me, no question that you raise is going to change that. And if we can start from that place, when we sit down with one another, if we can say nothing is going to change how I feel about you because you are my sister or brother in Christ, then we can have good civil discourse about hard political things in which there might not be any really great answer on this side of heaven. So I want to encourage you with this verse. Jesus says in John 17, 20 through 23, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that you may be one as we are in one. I in them, you in me. So that they may be brought into complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. What brings me peace in election year or any other time is that God's given me a job to do and God's given you a job to do. And that is to bring unity through love of Christ to every person, to bring that love of Christ to every person. And if something I'm doing is not showing God's love, I have to change what I'm doing, right? I'm responsible for myself, nobody else. I cannot control what people put on Facebook. I can control if I reshare it. I can't control if somebody shares lies about situations that I might be aware of. I can control if I reshare it. I can control how I react to it. I can control if I create an environment that says to each of you, my friends, my colleagues, I love you because of Christ, and I want to be unified with you. So the third thing you asked me is this. What do we do if we feel fear over the upcoming election? This is reasonable. I grew up in a very fear-based family. They do feel fear. That's why they're so into politics. I feel a whole lot less fear over the years. The reason why I feel so much less fear is because I've worked really hard to remember where I belong and who I belong to, right? It doesn't matter to me. It does matter who wins the election. It does. I don't know which one I want to win the election. I'll be honest. I'm praying and jury's out. But what matters to me at the end of the day is I already know the end of the story, right? God is on his throne. God's got this. God's will is going to be done. And it may not be done in the immediate moments, but it will be done, right? And it is unfolding among us. And so Jesus talks about this in the sermon because he knows everybody there has something to worry about. And this has been one of my very favorite passages and one that I will leave you with today. Jesus says to them in Matthew 6, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than that? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, in all of his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall I eat, or what shall I drink, or what shall I wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows what you need. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has trouble of its own. There are real issues that come up at election time that affect many people. And I don't want to sound like I'm playing those off. I get that. Some of those affect me. Some of them affect you. But at the end of the day, if I'm going to bed worried every night, it's not going to help me. It's not going to help my relationship with God. It's not going to help me with my relationship with you. I can go to bed at night knowing that my Heavenly Father knows what I need, and it will be taken care of. It may not be taken care of in the way I wanted it to be. That's okay. I can accept that. But I can go to bed at night feeling peace that I have God, God's got me, and this is all going to be okay. It really is. So what I want to encourage you today, think on these. If one of these three really stood out to you, embrace it, work on it, make it a discipline over the next few weeks to work through it, grow in these moments. But above all else, remember, who do you belong to? And that when it's election year, everything doesn't have to be wrapped up in the election, but it still needs to be dedicated to God, whatever we do. You are dismissed.